The Mellow Guru. This is Dr. Harel Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. The Mellow Guru. Teachers are often thought of as gurus. And this is true. Teachers are gurus. Teachers are those who share what they believe with others. And that's essentially what a guru is. They define a guru as a personal religious teacher and spiritual guide in Hinduism. Now that's where the word came from originally. And then it has expanded into being a teacher and especially intellectual guide in matters of fundamental concern. Sounds like a Catholic statement. The fundamental concern of the Catholic Church. Or one who is an acknowledged leader or chief proponent of anything, like a knowledgeable being in a particular area, a person with knowledge or expertise, an expert. Well, yeah, in all these, they're great. I like the idea of a sharer. A sharer is one who shares what is originally theirs, and, of course, belongs to everybody else, too. But it's not theirs until it becomes originally theirs. Until they know that that's who they've always been. That that's what they've always been. What is it that a mellow guru does? From experiences I've had with gurus in India, and gurus in other parts of the world, teachers, great leaders, by and large, these people were not teachers. They were not what the world considers gurus, someone who's going to lead them along their spiritual path. The people that I have met were more people who just believed what they believed, lived what they lived, and followed what they followed, and shared what they did to anyone who wanted to come and be part of their camp, so to speak. Part of their ashram, part of their clique, part of their group, part of their religious studies. Myrtle and Charles Fillmore were teaching a positive way of thinking, and they would hold classes. They had no other background, they had no other training that said, hey, you belong to this church or that church. They just found a philosophy that worked for them, and they shared it with their friends and neighbors, and pretty soon it grew into this wonderful organization called Unity. And Ernest Holmes, he was a rebel himself, and he didn't like the teachings that he had learned. He didn't like all of the things that he learned because they didn't quite make sense to him. So he wrote his own book, like Muhammad wrote his own book. His book became The Science of Mind. Fantastic book, filled with his understanding of religious life. Filled with his understanding of the teachings of Jesus, filled with his understanding of these things. Now, many other people have come and gone and written books. Many other people have come and lived their lives. They've been a mellow guru. They didn't say, you must do this for these results. They say, this is what I did, and these are the results that I got. Is that important to you? Is that something you want to do? Well, the difficulty with the Fillmores and Ernest Holmes is that when they start a school, then students come to them and either want to follow what they're teaching or want to bring their own brand into it. And all the students who come to the Fillmores or to the Holmes and wherever, they are a lot of very silly people. Because what they are really saying is they want to believe and follow what they know true inside of themselves. And of course, the Fillmores and the Holmes were teaching this very thing. All New Thought teachers and all great religious people. It was Martin Luther who was opposed to some of the things the church taught. And he wrote this wonderful encyclical that he hung up on the church wall. Not to go against the church, but to say, this is a more humane way of looking at it. And because it was appeared to be contrary to the church, they kicked him out. And so he went off and taught what he believed. And Lutheranism took place after that. It was a break into the beginning of the Protestant Revolution, the Protestant way of looking at things. Wonderful. Many more revolutions will come in the lifetimes of this universe and this world. Who knows? Will you be one of those leaders who will be the revolutionizing attitude of a way of looking at life? The Christian Scientists were very positive in this. Mary Baker Eddy wrote her book, Science and Health. She was very positive. Oh, she was a tiger. And she was right. She wrote about absolute philosophy. She wrote about absolute use of the law of the principle. She wrote about the very things that Jesus taught, that others taught, and are teaching now. But she was a very tough old bird. She would not allow anyone to do anything in her group, in her organization, or whoever said they believed the teachings of Christian Science. They could not go to doctors. They could not do these things because that was contrary to the teaching of the organization. Now, this caused a lot of upset and uptightness and all that. But really, the people who believe in the Christian Science faith are very consistent in this, very wonderful in this, and many other churches go on in this. But their teacher, especially intellectual guide in matters of fundamental concern. Now, Holmes, Eddy, Phil Morris, and many others, Martin Luther, they were all intellectual guides in matters of fundamental concern. They took a principle and they lived it. A sharer shares that principle, which is their principle, and each one of us is a sharer. Each one of us has the principle, but we share this principle. Now, do we stand up for it? Do we stand up for it every single minute of our life? Whenever someone makes a statement which is contrary to what we believe, do we stand up for it, even to their irritation? Do we stand up to it, even to their feeling that we are frustrated bosses and that we're trying to tell other people how to live their life? No. I say, anybody who comes into my world, into my organization, into the University of Healing, Church of God Unlimited here, must come to the one realization, which is a tough one, and it's that everything is God. Every single thing in the universe is God, and everybody is God, and we should start acting like God. Oh, that's blasphemous. Not really. That's what Jesus taught. That's what all great philosophers and teachers teach. Man, know thyself. So, when I require this of people who are studying with me or who are in my presence, they say, oh, God, that's terrible. You have no compassion. You're cold. And that's very true. The principle, the law, is very cold. And anybody who practices the principle and the law are considered to be very cold. Did you drive through that stop sign? Yes, but, no buts. You get a ticket. But I was trying to go ahead of this car behind me because it was going to crash into me because I could see they weren't stopping and I didn't want to crash up my car. You were violating the principle. You violated the law. But I did what I felt was should have been done. Well, then you were creating your own law, weren't you? But don't you understand that's, you see, principle is very tough. The principle says, stop at a stop sign. Okay, you stopped. And somebody else was going to crash into you, but the light was still red, and you stayed stopped. Now, what would you do? What would your intellectual understanding tell you? What would your reality tell you? Why would you place yourself at a stop sign with a car going to crash into you? Why do you place yourself into circumstances like that? Why do you look back in your rearview mirror and say, whoops, that's going to crash into me? Instead of saying, all is in divine order now. True? You would spurt ahead, maybe causing another accident as you went through a stoplight, causing other people to be equally upset and violating the principle. But you see, oh, there was nobody there, and there was this, and there. Hey, how do you know that? How do you know that? Accidents happen because people say there's nobody there, and they were there, and you just didn't see them. You just didn't see them. But you see, if we're going to stand for this principle like Mary Baker Eddy does, if we're going to stand for that principle, people are not going to like us. People are going to say, but. And this is where I had to get off that particular train. The buts were getting to me. There is only one principle, and that is, be yourself and have fun. Live your life according to what you believe are your values, and have fun doing that. If you don't believe in your values, believe in the values you believe in, whatever they may be. But believe in them, and stand up for them 100%. One who is acknowledged leader or chief proponent. Jesus always stood up for the principles that he stood for. Mary Baker Eddy always stood up for the principles she believed in. And she enjoyed healings in several ways. And the Fillmores did the same thing, and so did Holmes. You see, these are people who believe in a philosophy. They believe in the teaching, and they espouse it 100% in their life. Can you do that? Can you stand up for that? Can you be a mellow guru and just sort of say, that's okay, you do whatever's right for you? And that's true. You do whatever is right for you. But for me, I stand by principle. For me, I stand by all of the reasons that I believe what I believe. And thereby, I am who I am. Now, the next point is the telling point. If I am so wonderful, if I am so consistent in my belief, then I should create about myself people who are equally consistent and follow the principle. If I create about me people who are students, who don't know, people who want to learn, people who are students who don't know, who are saying, I'm just learning, I'm just human, excuse me while I'm learning. No. Once you have been told, once you know it within yourself, you're not learning anymore. Now it's the practice of it. And now it's the practice of it. Now, I am not the teacher of the principle because you already know it. I am working with you as a sharer, guiding you in the practice of it, reminding you, practice, practice. Practice, go practice a piano, practice a piano, practice a piano. And as you do, you will gain all the skills that you want to have. But if you don't practice, you won't get it. And that's the way it goes, isn't it? So, think to yourself now, what kind of a guru do you want in your life? The best guru is if you're your own guru. But do you want a mellow guru who's going to just sort of let you get by and not doing the lessons as you have agreed to do them? Or do you want someone who is very strict and requires out of you and out of themselves living the principles and the rules 100%? What kind of guru do you want in your world? What kind of guru are you? Yes, what kind of guru? What kind of guru are you? G-U-R-U. What kind of guru are you? A person with knowledge or expertise? Or a master? We'll leave it at that. You decide. I see everyone as a master. And I love you with all my being, with all my soul, with all my life, because I think you're wonderful. I love you. I love you. I love you.